through the rain to get here. Yeah, I appreciate you guys going out and braving the elements and stuff. You know, some people will make any excuse possible to not go to church, and some people will go even when it's not convenient and when it's not, you know, maybe the most comfortable thing in the world. But some people, if their cat has the flu, they can't make it. So I appreciate you guys for making it and seeing the value in it, and seeing the value and be surrounded by other Christians and praising God and devoting time to His Word. And I pray that today, as you guys do that, they realize this was beneficial, this was helpful to your faith. And we hope that we always do it in a way that is. And most importantly, we hope that we do it in a way that's pleasing to God and something that He approves of. So let's get started with a word of prayer, then we'll get into our lesson. Dear God, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You so much for this group of people, for this body and this family that You've given to us, to support one another, to encourage one another as we go through this difficult life, this sometimes straining and taxing life that we go through. And we know that sometimes we can get discouraged, and sometimes we can get down, and sometimes we can even lose our way. So we're thankful that You've given us Your Word, but You've also given us other people to help keep us on the right path and keep walking towards You. God, today as we look at Your Scripture and we look at Your Word, we pray that we can do so with the right mindset, that we can do so in submission to You, knowing that Your ways are above our ways and Your thoughts are above our thoughts. And we pray that today as we look at Your Word, that we come away with the things that You want us to come away with, not the things that we want to come away with. God, we thank You so much for all of the blessings that You poured out on us, but we thank You most of all for Jesus and the sacrifice that He made so that we could have this relationship with You. It's in His name we pray. Amen. All right, we are continuing the series. We're getting close to the end of it now. But things that you may have heard in church, and if you guys remember, this whole series is just about things that you may have heard in church. So, or maybe even on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, just from somebody you know. But just different statements that maybe sometimes are casually thrown around in church, or ideas that are thrown around in church. And we're just looking to see whether or not they match Scripture, whether or not they match God's Word. Because with all the different things that are said, and all of the different preachers and churches and people that say such different things, it can be confusing. So to get rid of confusion, instead of deciding which people to believe, we just look at the Bible and we say, what does God tell us? And we'll just believe what He says and get rid of the confusion. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, the Apostle Paul says this: all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. All Scripture is inspired by God. Not all things you've heard from the pulpit, not all things I say, not all things you say, not all things we feel, but all Scripture. So that's what we're doing today, is we're looking at another statement, and we're going to compare it to Scripture and see if it's something that matches what we see in the Bible. And the statement that we're looking at today is, I'm spiritual, not religious. It is becoming an increasingly popular way for people to describe themselves, even Christians, as spiritual. And if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know what that means, you're in the same boat as most people, because a lot of people don't know what this means, because there's so many definitions. It's very difficult to peg down what that means, because almost every person will give you a different definition of what they mean when they say, I'm spiritual. You may ask, are you Christian? And they'll say, I'm spiritual. Okay, well, what does that mean? Every person might give you a different answer. It can mean that you believe in a higher power. That can be one definition of it. It can mean that you are in tune with your non-physical elements. It can just mean that you care about good vibes. And every person can, yeah, vibes. Every person can and often does describe this differently. But specifically, what I want to look at is when Christians say this. When Christians say, I'm spiritual, but not religious, or I care about a relationship, not religion, those types of statements, what are people saying? And some of the things that they're saying is what we're going to look at now. One of them is, I want a relationship with God, but not rules from God. This is how some people define what they mean by spiritual, but not religious. By saying, I'm spiritual, not religious, some accept the existence of God, and claim a relationship with him, but they're not required to obey any of the rules or regulations that come along with that. And people will say, hey, just don't follow religion. Don't do religion. Just have a relationship with God. It's not about rules. It's just about a relationship. And a lot of people have this idea that I can just be spiritual, not religious. I can have a relationship and no rules with God. So that's what some people mean when they say this. Some people mean or say it to appear open-minded. I'm spiritual. I may learn from Jesus even, but I'm not so close-minded as to be a Christian. Or I'm certainly not a religious or devout Christian. I'm just spiritual. I'm not religious. And for some people, this means that they can take the pros of Christianity without the stigma or the baggage of it. There's an extreme negative stigma surrounding Christianity and religion in general in our country, but especially Christianity. I was watching a comedian talk to his wife, and the wife asked the question. She said, would you rather me wake up one day and be a devout Christian or a vegan? And he was torn because he said both were the most annoying thing you could possibly be. And that was his perspective on it. And while that's a comedian joking around, a lot of people feel that way. They're annoyed by devout Christians. They're annoyed by extremely religious people. And they were making a mockery of, you know, what, like, she's like, I'm talking like serious religious, like pray before every meal, go to church every Sunday. And he was like, oh my goodness. But trying to weigh that between being a vegan and being married to a vegan. No disrespect to vegans. If you're vegan, that's fine. But he didn't like it. You do you. I'm going to eat meat. So, but a lot of people have a very negative baggage, and some Christians, because they want to avoid the stigma that the world places on Christianity, will say, I'm spiritual but not religious. I'm not like those Christians. I'm not those crazy religious nuts. I'm not like that. I'm just spiritual. I just have a relationship with God. Don't lump me in with those guys. I'm not like that. That's what some people mean. And some people are doing this to avoid even the past things of Christianity. Like, don't look at me when you're talking about the Crusades. I'm not associated with that. And they can avoid the ugly looks from the world by separating themselves from religion, but then still at the same time trying to claim a relationship with God. And what most people mean by this is probably the most common thing that Christians mean when they say this, is I can have Jesus without going to church. I can have a relationship with God. I'm spiritual, but I'm not going to church. I have a relationship with Jesus, good relationship with God, but I am not going to be involved in the church. They don't need the Bible. They certainly don't need the church from their perspective. They just need God. And for many, they see organized religion, as they call it, as an ugly thing. That just any time a group of people organize for religion, it's an ugly thing. And that they say that you should personally believe whatever you want, but the second you try to share or force those beliefs on others, or the second you all start collectively agreeing, or if there's any rules or standards that apply to a group that you accept, to them it becomes an ugly thing. And again, there are so many reasons why people may say they're spiritual but not religious, but today we're going to look at what God says about religion. How does God define religion? How does God view religion? And does he see it as a positive or a negative thing? Because in general, our culture does not. And let's start with the first obvious question, what is religion? If you go from a worldly definition, again, there's different definitions, but there's two main ones. One, it's the belief in and worship of a superhuman power or powers, especially a god or gods. So just believing in God, worshiping that God, makes you religious. But the second one, which is what most people mean when they use the word religion, is an organized system of beliefs, ceremonies, and rules, which is the main thing they hate, used to worship a god or a group of gods. The biblical word for religion is thrasekia, and the word isn't used much in the Bible. You see the idea all over the place, but the word itself isn't used much in the Bible. But its most basic meaning, religion, the word that's used in the Bible, when you see religion in the Bible, just means devotion to God. It just means expressed devotion to God. So religion, at its simplest explanation, just what the word means, is how you express your devotion to the higher being that you worship, that you revere. If you express into your God, express religion to your God in song, or you express devotion to your God in song, that's you expressing religion. If you refuse to engage in certain behaviors out of devotion to God, that's religion. If you sacrifice a goat out of devotion to your God, that's religion. And if you feed the poor out of devotion to your God, all of that can be wrapped up under religion, because it just means to express devotion to your God. The word is used 4 times in the New Testament, once in Colossians 2:18, where it's translated worship, talking about angels, once in Acts 26, verse 5, where Paul says in Judaism, he lived as a Pharisee in the strictest sect of their religion, and then it's used twice in the book of James in back-to-back verses, which is where we're going to look today. Starting in James 1:26, he says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." James says there are those that would like to think themselves to be religious, think themselves to be devoted to God, but they can't control their tongue, they don't have self-control, and as a result, their religion, their devotion to God, is worthless. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything because it's not matched with their actions. Now, when James says that religion, their religion is worthless, does that seem like a positive or a negative thing? Very clearly seems like it's a negative thing if your religion is worthless. So just from James's perspective, as an inspired writer of the New Testament, religion that's worth something is a good thing. And if your religion is worthless, then it's a bad thing, right? If something being worthless is bad, that means when it's good, or when it's useful, it's good. No good person ever says, "Man, my cocaine just didn't, it was worthless. It just didn't get me high." Like, you'd be like, "No, that's a good thing that it's worthless. That's good that it didn't do the intended purpose." But when religion does its intended purpose, when it's useful, it's good, according to James. From the way James is speaking, it seems as if it's a good thing. But part of being religious, just remember this, looking at this, is exercising self-control. Part of it is living in a controlled manner. When you exercise godly self-control, you are practicing religion. The next verse also talks about religion. James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Pure and undefiled. So if something is pure and undefiled, we would say it's good, not a negative thing. So religion can be and should be a good thing. So remember what religion means: pure and undefiled devotion to God and the sight of our God and Father is this. And he says it looks like this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world. And when he says visit, again, he doesn't mean just go say hi. You see the widows that are hungry and the orphans that are hungry, and you just say, "Hey, hi guys, I see that you're hungry, stop by," said hi. That's not what it means. It means to take care of them, right? To visit them and care for their needs is understood. But if religion is taking care of widows and orphans, that's a good thing. And if you say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious," according to God, you say, "I'm spiritual," and using God's definition of religion, "I'm spiritual, but I don't care about taking care of widows and orphans. Or I don't care about controlling my tongue. And I don't care about these actual ways where religion is demonstrated." So according to James, just in these two verses, pure and meaningful or undefiled religion is having self-control and caring for other people, keeping yourself unstained by the world. Looking at religion described in that way, do you want to be religious? I would certainly hope so, that we look at religion described the way James says and say, "I want to be religious." And the most religious man to ever live was Jesus. He had complete self-control. All he did was care for others. And he never sinned. He kept himself unstained from the world. And if our goal is to copy Jesus' behavior, our goal is to be religious. So if we use the biblical definition of religion, when we say we're spiritual but not religious, what we are saying is, "I'm spiritual but I have no self-control." Or, "I'm spiritual, but I don't take care of the needs of others." Or, "I'm spiritual, but I like to be worldly." That's what we're saying when we're saying I'm spiritual but not religious. And ironically, that is actually what most people who say that, not meaning to, matches the behavior of the people that say this. And the easiest way to say all of this is exactly what the Greek word for religion is, devotion to God. A person that has no self-control, who doesn't take care of the needs of others, and who lives like the rest of the world, that person is not genuinely devoted to God, even if they claim to be. And when a person makes a claim to be devoted to God, they are claiming to be religious. And when a person shows by their actions that they are devoted to God, they are proving themselves to be religious. So when somebody says, I'm spiritual but not religious, they're probably right, but that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to not be religious. We should be religious. So to answer some of the questions that came along with this, some of the issues that pop up when people mean this, can you have a relationship with God without rules from God? Because that's what a lot of people mean. Can you genuinely be devoted to God without obedience to Him? Which is, again, what many people mean when they say I'm spiritual but not religious. John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't obey God, if you don't follow his rules, Jesus says you don't love him. If you loved him, you would do what he said. I love you. I just don't want to do anything you tell me to do, God. It's not genuine love for God. That's just love for yourself. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to do? Lord, we use this word a lot, means master. It just means master. So Jesus is saying, why do you call me master if you're not actually letting me be your master? You're calling me master. It's like calling someone your boss but never doing anything they say. And a lot of people want this type of relationship with God where they say, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my Lord, but I want to do everything my way. I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. Jesus says, why do you even call me Lord? It's a fake relationship. Why do you pretend to love me because you're not doing what I say? So can you have a relationship with God without obeying him? Obviously not. Very simple biblical teaching. The second thing, are we responsible for all of the bad things done in the name of religion? Are we responsible for all of the evils that have been justified for religion? Of course not. Some Christians acknowledge that they say they're spiritual, not religious, to avoid being associated with the baggage of religion. And some people outside of the church will point to things like the Crusades, or terrorist attacks from Islam or things like that. And they will point out that religion has been used to justify murders, wars, and all sorts of evils throughout history. And yes, of course this is true, that people do use religion to justify evil. But just because somebody uses something in an evil way doesn't make that thing evil. People have used cars to drive them into crowds of people and kill many. But probably everyone, especially today, got here because of a car. I bet you didn't walk in the rain. We all came here in a car. Even though people use cars for all sorts of horrible things and evil things, we still recognize that's not the car's fault. And just because people have misused the Bible and misused religion and misused churches to do horrible things does not make the Bible, does not make church, does not make religion a bad thing. It just means the people that have done that are evil. And any person that wants to use Jesus to justify murder or any kind of evil is misusing Jesus. And Jesus is not responsible for that, nor are we. And the last part of this I want to address is, can you have Jesus without going to church? Because this is what a lot of people mean, too, when they say spiritual but not religious. That I can have God, I can have Jesus, but no church. I believe in God, I love God, I even read my Bible at home, I may even watch church online, but I don't want to go to church and I don't want to be involved in church. So can you sincerely be devoted to God if you don't go to church? Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God commands us not just here, but throughout Scripture, to assemble, to meet together. And not just to meet together, but to meet together and encourage one another. It's not just about showing up and going to your pew and God's taking attendance, but showing up and encouraging one another. So again, this goes back to the last point, because it becomes an obedience issue on the first part. Can I say I don't want to go to church and still obey God? No, because God commands us to go to church. So by saying I reject church, I reject the authority of Christ who commands me to go to church. And if I'm rejecting his authority, it again comes back to saying I love him, but not obeying him. Saying I'm devoted to him, but not doing what he says. But it goes deeper than just the obedience level, though. We shouldn't just go to church because God tells us to go to church. There should be a desire to care for God's family. Do you think if you went to my mom and dad and said, hey, I love you, Jeremy, and I love you, Dana, but I hate Cole, I hate Caitlin, I hate Warren, I hate Imani, hate Matthew, hate everyone in your family, but I like you guys. I like the parents. I just can't stand the rest of your family. I want nothing to do with them. Don't want to talk to them. Don't want to be around them. I'll spend time with you guys one-on-one, but if they're there, I don't want to be there. Do you think you'd have a very good relationship with my parents? When we do that with church, that's what we're doing to God. We are all God's family. We are all God's children. And when I say, God, I want a personal relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I just don't want to deal with your people. I just don't want to deal with the rest of your kids. I don't want to deal with your family. You're not going to have a good relationship with the Father. And it shows that you don't care for him in the way that you should. Because if you care for somebody, you're going to care about their family if you love them, knowing that they love for those people. The church is made up of God's children. And when we get together, it's not a business. It's not a community event. It's a family reunion. It's the family getting together. And when somebody says, I love God, but don't love the church, you're saying, I love the dad, but I don't love his kids. I don't love his family. And if you don't like being around Christians praising God together, heaven's going to be a rough eternity for you. Because that's kind of the big thing about heaven, is that we all are together worshiping God for eternity. So if you can't stand the idea of that now, you can't stomach the idea of that now, I don't think heaven's going to be super fun for you. 1 John 4, 11 through 12 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. How can you love people that you never assemble with? How can you care for the needs of people that you refuse to meet with? If you decide to walk by yourself and say, I'm going to do life by myself, I'm not going to pay attention to the needs of others, you can't effectively love these people. You may be a spiritual giant. You may be the best Christian to ever exist, and you truly don't need encouragement from other people. And you never have a down day where you need somebody to pick yourself up. It is still selfish of you to not go to church because you're not going just for your own needs. You're going to care for the needs of others. You're going to encourage and stimulate others. You're going to love on others. So even if you feel personally like you don't need church, the church needs you. People need your encouragement. And when you decline to offer that, you're declining to love God's family. So can you have a good relationship, a devoted relationship with God, without obeying him and going to church and without genuinely loving and taking time to care for his family? Obviously, no. But the reason we say that is because, honestly, a lot of us just don't want to wake up early on Sunday, and we have things we'd rather do, and we choose ourselves over what God wants for us. So, to summarize, religion is a good thing when done according to God's word. Self-control, rules, going to church, taking care of people in need, especially widows and orphans, all of these things are good things. And God expects us not just to be spiritual people, but religious people. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. There are rules. There are regulations. There are standards. There is a standard that he set that he expects us to live up to. And he expects us to be devoted to him, devoted to his word, and devoted to his church. And this idea that you can have God without any commitment, that you can have heaven without any lifestyle changes and without any commitment to God or his people, is inaccurate and unbiblical, which is the main thing. So as Christians, we should be devoted to God and be religious. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much again for your word. Thank you so much for scripture. And thank you for the commands that you give to us. We know that your commands are meant for our well-being, and that when you tell us to do something, it's because it's good. When you tell us not to do something, it's because it's bad. And we trust that you're smarter than us. We trust that your wisdom is above ours, and that you know more. So if you say that we should avoid something because you know what's best for us, even though we may think we know what's best for ourselves. God, help us to trust in you. Help us to rely on you. And help us not to care so much what the world thinks of us. Help us not to care so much what outsiders think of us. We know we're not standing before them on Judgment Day. We're standing before you. And we pray that we find our value and our sense of worth in what you think of us and not the world. God, thank you so much again for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice and for the pain that he endured on our behalf. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you guys again for coming today. And again, if you guys have any needs, if you need prayer requests, if you need somebody to talk to, if you need somebody to study with, or if you'd like to become a Christian and put Christ on in baptism, anything that you need, you can come forward now as Rance gets up to sing, or you can come grab one of us after, and we'd be happy to talk with you.
When we walk with the Lord,